grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue the pictures of the coming glory of the New Testament church through Christ that Isaiah writes about this morning in chapter 35. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus our Savior, when our family lived in Arizona, we often traveled the desert highway between Casa Grande, where we lived, and Phoenix, a distance of about 45 miles. I served a second congregation on the south side of the city, and that was where we went weekly to do our big shopping. When we traveled on that desert highway in the middle of summer, the parched land was exactly that, to say the least. And it was always a wilderness. 45 miles of nothing but cacti, sagebrush, and Palo Verde trees. I understand that much of that wilderness is not there anymore, but many years ago it was. But in late summer and early fall, the monsoon season, heavy rains would come, and formerly dry washes would be overflowing their banks with running water. And where you could only see brown previously, now you could see green snakes winding through the desert as all that vegetation began to grow along those washes. And while still a desert, still pretty brown, here and there, all over the landscape, would pop up these beautiful desert flowers of wonderful variety of colors. There is something special and magical about the desert when it's in full bloom. This is the picture that Isaiah paints of the coming day of glory for the New Testament church in Christ. It's a fine picture and one that we do well to look at in our preparation to welcome Jesus into Bethlehem. God comes and builds a highway to Zion. First of all, that highway passes through a blooming desert. And secondly, only the redeemed travel on it and enter the city. The desert of Isaiah's picture is the Old Testament church. It was parched with idolatry. It was a wilderness of rejection of God and no further belief in the promise of the Messiah who was to come. It was a wilderness void and empty of trust in God and expectation of His promise. But yet, God in His mercy continued to water it. He continued to shower down on it the waters of His grace and His mercy. The land provided water even out of solid rock during the Exodus. So even in the midst of that dry and parched desert of the Old Testament church, there was a remnant who believed, and the promise was still there. And here the Lord, through Isaiah, paints that promise of Christ and the New Testament church as that blooming desert. The Lord would transform that parched land of the Old Testament church into a church so fruitful that the people in that day could not even imagine it. It was unknown to them. He would fill the desert with glory and with splendor and with joy. That parched desert, that wilderness, would flourish in the verdant growth of Lebanon up north and Mount Carmel and Mount Sharon that were well known for their verdant hillsides and landscapes. The church would see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. God's glory and His splendor are the forgiveness of all of our sins. That glory and that splendor is Jesus Christ. John said of Christ, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. God's glory and splendor is that Savior Jesus Christ, whose way we are preparing. The Messiah was theirs in promise. The Christ is ours in fulfillment. The church still is a desert in the sense that we're not much to look at outwardly. The world still looks at us believers. They look at the church sort of like a desert with nothing really growing there. Martin Luther said of the church that the church must be discerned by the Spirit, not by the wisdom of the flesh. The glory and splendor of Christ's church never was meant to be outward adornment. It was never to be some glorious and radiant and splendiferous beauty that the world could look at and say, well, see, there's the church. The glory and the splendor of the church is like those blooming, blossoming crocus, those flowers that are popping up. We may not be much to look at still, but we have that great beauty because we have the Word of God. The Word of God is the glory and splendor of the church. The living Word of God, Jesus Christ, is our glory and our splendor. And that glory and splendor rules in our hearts, not outwardly and visibly. It is our spiritual wealth and the riches of God's grace that make us like the crocus. It will burst into bloom, will rejoice greatly, and shout for joy. Through this blooming desert of the New Testament church, God comes and builds a highway to Zion. Remember we said Zion is the church as a foretaste of heaven, and Zion is ultimately and finally heaven itself. God comes and in Christ builds that highway through that blooming desert. It's in the midst of that blooming desert. And that way of holiness is the gospel. That highway to Zion is Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except me. And in spite of what Don Imus says, that I think there's really many ways for a person to be saved and get to heaven, the Bible very clearly says that there is only one way. And that one way is the way of holiness, of Christ's righteousness. It is the way of the gospel. And only the redeemed, only believers, will travel on that narrow way and enter into Zion. Either the church, as a foretaste of heaven, and then finally will enter heaven itself. The Holy Spirit describes the redeemed, the travelers on this way of holiness, in terms of the miracles that Jesus did during his public ministry. We heard in our gospel lesson this morning, when John the Baptist was in prison waiting to be executed, his disciples came to him and apparently had some questions about Jesus. And John, likely to strengthen his own faith, but also to reassure his disciples, sent those disciples to Jesus and asked that question, "Are you that highway? Are you that way of holiness?" And what answer did Jesus give them? His miracles. He said, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." In Isaiah, he describes those redeemed as the blind who now see, the lame who could now walk, the mute who could now speak, the deaf who could now hear. Those are the redeemed who travel that way of holiness. We were blind to God and His salvation and grace, but now we see it as the Holy Spirit has enlightened us with His gifts. Our ears were deaf to God's will for us and for His revealing the way to heaven for us. But now we listen to what God says. Our feet were lame as we stumble around in our own lame ideas about how to save ourselves and how to be reconciled with God. But now we walk straight in that power of Christ. Now we walk straight, not wandering off onto other paths, but walking on that way of holiness. At one time, our tongues were mute, except to try to babble our own praises. And now the Holy Spirit has loosed our tongues so that we can sing the praises of Him who has called us out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. The unclean, that is the unbelievers and the impenitent, do not walk on this road because they choose to take other paths. The picture here is of the church, the remnant of believers, returning on the path that God provided them from Babylon back to Zion, back to Jerusalem. And those who followed God's word, those who listened to God, stayed on that path that God had cleared and made for them. But those who didn't listen are like people who get off the path and try to cut their way through the underbrush with a machete, or try to make their own way, or try to follow some other way that someone who didn't know where they were going cut for them, and they followed them. The impenitent and the unbeliever are those who follow other paths, wide paths, broad paths that lead to destruction. God has come and has built a highway to Zion. And by His grace, He has set you and me squarely on that highway. Most of us took the first step at the baptismal font as our parents brought us and set us on the right path, on the right way of salvation. God has kept us and preserved us on that way through the gospel in word and sacrament. Only believers in Christ who travel the way of holiness will enter the city of Zion, either become members of the church or, in the end, get to heaven. As you and I travel on that way of holiness, we are safe and secure from every enemy. Isaiah uses the pictures of jackals formerly hiding in their dens. Well, they're gone now, and so even those dens themselves begin to to grow grass and grow flowers because the jackals are no longer around. No lion will be there. We certainly think of the devil as a roaring lion trying to devour us, or any other ferocious beast, get up on it. They will not be found there. They'll be next to us. They'll be growling at us and howling at us and threatening us, but they can't come up into the church. They can't get to us. They can't destroy us. What Isaiah says here is another way of Jesus' promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Jesus says in John 16:33, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Our resurrected and living Christ has overcome all the power of our enemies. And as you and I travel that way of holiness, the holiness that Jesus earned by living a perfectly obedient life and then offered as a full atoning sacrifice for our sins, as we trust in that and walk in that way, none of these ferocious beasts, none of these enemies will be able to harm us or destroy us. Here in prophecy, Isaiah points forward to the saving work of our Lord Jesus. But behind the joy and behind the glory and behind the splendor of all of those things, and even we might say not only behind it, but overshadowing it, is the cross, is our Savior's passion. Think of what Luther said about the church. That's the way people look at Jesus too, isn't it? He doesn't look like much. He didn't really look like a king. He really didn't look like the Messiah outwardly. But inwardly, there is God and man with all the qualities and actions that we need in a Savior. And in His miracles, like that blooming desert, He let those spring up and shine out for all of us to see. And so even though the world looks at us like a desert, we still, in the gospel, shine out and bloom and enjoy that splendor and that glory of our God. It is this message, both then and now, that does what the Lord commanded Isaiah to do with these words. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. The Lord God comes and builds this highway to Zion. We prepare the way for Him. We make straight paths for that road. We fill in the valleys and knock down the hills for the Lord to build that road. That is our daily repentance. That is our daily contrition and admission of our sins and our trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. On those hearts prepared by John the Baptist, prepared by the Word of God for repentance, the Lord builds that way of holiness. And He strengthens us as we grow weak and weary on our journey. And in that walk, in that journey, we even make room for God's vengeance. We leave room for God's recompense. One day when Jesus returns, His full vengeance and recompense will come down on those who reject Him. And so, as we get closer and as we prepare to enter Bethlehem to welcome our Savior, the Spirit today reminds us of an even greater and more joyful entrance that God has given us. An entrance into Zion. An entrance into heaven. He gives us this promise. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen.